This is our conversation with our new co-host from Venture Collective, Nick Priorello. This is the final part. If you want to see this interview with Nick in its entirety, please visit us on our YouTube channel at Venture Collective Podcast. And that way you'll be able to see it in its full, unedited entirety. Make sure you subscribe to catch up on the latest news and information and podcasts that we have available there. Welcome to Venture Collective. We are back with Nick Priorello. So you talked about being an atheist and you talked about the fact that you didn't believe in God, but then you said there was a woman in a church that invited you to the church and that like changed everything, right? So how was that? Were you debating with her? Did she know that you were an atheist? Explain a little bit about this lady that invited you to the church that essentially God used to change everything with you.
I think she, I'll be honest with you, there was no debating. I think that was the key. She didn't even, there'd be times where I would talk to her. And then, you know, I'd walk back to my house, she'd walk back into hers, and I never felt like, oh man, she's trying to, you know, like a salesman, like, you know, have those salesmen that come up to your front door and you're like, oh, all right, what do you want? What do you tell us? What's your spiel? And it's like, you feel like someone's trying to sell you something.
Yeah, I see sometimes, there's a lot of atheists out there with a no soliciting sign for Christians that are like, we don't even want you to come to our door and have this conversation, right?
Right. So it's just, just like, in general, it's like, okay, what do you want? You know, it didn't feel like that. I think we just had conversations. And I think the fact that she was where I was at many years ago before me. And I think she just understood. She's like, oh yeah, you know, I've been there, done that. I understand exactly where you're coming from. And yeah, just let me know if you want to, you know, just let me know if you want to like come to the church. Everybody's cool there. There's no judging, you know, it'll be fine. And then she never brought it up after that. Never did. 2 months went by. She never said, hey, so you coming to the church or what? Are you going to leave me hanging? Are you busting my chops here? Let's go. Let's make a decision here. It wasn't any of that. So it wasn't like any pressure or salesmanship or anything like that. So I think it was just a combination of, she was just kind of just throwing it out there. I understand where you're coming from. I've been there. Who knows? Maybe she was praying for me behind closed doors and maybe that kind of jolted something. I don't know. I'm pretty sure she was. She was that type of person to pray for others.
Prayer works, that was, man.
Yeah, that's, it does work. I mean, it's not a coincidence that shortly after that, I meet my future wife. And then she in return is somebody who was trying to get back in the church as well. So, you know, I was there to guide her back into the church. You know, she was looking for someone like me.
That's awesome. God,
I mean, yep. I mean, it can't be a coincidence. You know, God works in that way.
The things that I hear you say about this lady that invited you back in the church, the three things I wrote down with this was that she demonstrated love to you, right? You said there was no arguments, there was no debates, there was no – one thing I see with Christians and non-Christians, or when you think about Christian apologetics and things of that nature, you've got, you know, the apologetics here and you've got maybe the Muslim or you've got maybe the other faith person or you've got somebody who – you know, the scientist or however you want to look at the other person, the other party, and it becomes, instead of asking honest, genuine, authentic questions within one another to gain insight, I think what they tend to do is just spout from their perspective, like their point of view, the way that they see things or what, and yes, one side tends to be stronger than the other or vice versa, or sometimes they're both in the middle, but instead to ask, to have love be the one to gauge the conversation, to really ask questions, to seek answers to, and to actually answer the questions the best that we can. Those are things that you and I did growing up that nobody had the answers to. So we were honestly genuinely seeking answers to questions. And there are people out there that are seeking answers to questions. The way that we need to look at it is, are we truly trying to provide the answer to the questions that they're asking, or are we just trying to tell them, hey, look, you need to have Jesus. He's the get out of hell free card. So I can put another notch in my Bible about, hey, I've saved five people this month. praise the Lord, I saved five people. I'm going to have more baptisms and I'm going to move forward that way, as opposed to saying, hey, let's take our time, let's practice in love, and let's grow in that. And I really appreciate that she was an example. And sometimes just giving a friendly invitation. She gave you an invitation and said, hey, I'd love for you to come to church. Come check us out. We're a great place. We're a great community. So as churches, we can learn from that to go, hey, maybe I can just lovingly invite somebody to church and then pray about them and let God do the work after we planted the seed and be available to them to just model Christ-like behavior. I mean, what a concept.
Yeah, isn't that just a concept? Instead of having that political political approach to it, where it's like, I'm going to debate my side until I'm blue in the face, and you go ahead and debate your side until you're blue in the face, and we're not going to come to an understanding at all. At the end of the day, I'm not going to know anything about your side. You're not going to know anything about mine. We're still going to both be right. I think that, you know, we're talking about, you know, build the wall, you know, with the Mexican border. Well, that builds the wall between other people, between relationships from heart to heart. You know, that stupid pride is what builds walls. The higher you build those walls, the harder it's going to tear down. People just keep doing that. And it's, even the best of us still get sucked into that. But I think that's the key right there, is just to, like you said, with that approach, just here, I understand where you're coming from. Here's an invite. Let me know if you need anything. And then leave it at that. That's it. Simple.
As you were talking, Nick, one thing I want to make sure that I point out is the political season we just had. We just had an election, and we were talking about the debates. And I see, when you see a discussion, when you see a debate between political parties, you have one political party over here, you have the other political party, and then you might see these focus groups of like CNN or Fox News or somewhere having the quote-unquote undecideds. And the undecideds tend to be maybe 5 or 10 people in a room that they're sitting going, okay, mm-hmm. We have this group of undecided voters, and that's who we're targeting. That's who we're trying to find out about. When we're talking about Christianity, it's not one side or the other and then undecided. You don't have the people that, I'm Christian, then the other people are like, I'm atheist, and then you have the undecided agnostics in the middle that we're trying to win over, right? I think the best thing to do is to sit there and say, okay, we're not trying to debate point to point and argue with one another, but rather to share the gospel and love and to say, look, you don't believe in God. I do. Let's have this conversation of authentic relational topics by building the relationship to really say, let me come alongside you and show you why God has been good to me and why I believe in him. And then maybe the atheist can sit there and say, I want to learn a little bit about more about that, as opposed to being defiantly that there's no God, and vice versa, the Christian defiantly saying, God's the only God that's real, and this, the Bible is true. And you have two people that stand on the platforms, like the Republicans and the Democrats, that just, how do we win people to Christ? But let me put it to you this way. If we're captain, I like to say it this way. If we're captain of Team Jesus and we walk around and we're talking about being on Team Jesus, how do we get people who want to join our team?
Well, we don't do what the politicians do with their campaign trail. That's for sure. It's all about, well, this. Here's all the things that are wrong about the other side. And this is why our side is so awesome. This is why you should join. No, it shouldn't be that way. It should be the opposite. So, it's about having conversations with people, opening yourself up to them. Maybe you do all the talking, like we were having this discussion. You know, you ask me questions about my journey, or you told everybody about yours at the beginning. I think that's all we have to really do, is just listen to that person. I guess what I'm trying to say throughout all of this is that show them that you're a human being too, that's gone through struggles, and that you too aren't perfect, and share all that with them. I remember having conversations when I was younger with my parents, you know, and I did something wrong, took something bad in school, which unfortunately was a occurrence that happened frequently when I was younger. But, I remember them saying, and I remember, you know, it's like I felt like I was in a corner, like, you know, well, you're doing this wrong and you're being bad and you're going to be punished. yeah, they did some of that, but at the same time, you're like, you know, when I was a kid, I screwed up too, and this is what happened. And then you're like, oh, well, I feel like I'm talking to another human being too. I don't feel like I'm talking to like some superior godlike person who's like, oh, I do everything the right way and everything you do is wrong. So I think it's just a matter of showing your vulnerability, you know, like I'm vulnerable. This happens to me too. I'm also a sinful person in this way. And let's have a discussion about this. Tell me something, you know, tell me something that you struggle with. And then I'll tell you something that I struggle with. And maybe we can help each other out, making it more of an even instead of being like, okay, I'm gonna be the preacher who tells you everything. You're gonna sit there and listen. You're like, let's have a conversation like friends, and we'll work on this together, side by side.
I appreciate having conversation and coming alongside each other side by side and walking with them. A lot of what you're saying here, I feel like I've addressed with my Ravi Zacharias podcast. That was just something that I explained a little bit about how I felt in the heart. I think we'd need to be doing better just in general to show our scars a little more, exactly the way that you said it. You know, I think that, you know, be open and honest about our sin, be open and honest about our struggle, not be afraid of people throwing stones at you, and definitely not being the people that are picking up stones to throw it at somebody else, but to come alongside somebody and say, okay, look, that's your sin. This is my sin. We both need to recognize our need for a savior. So let's go towards the path of the one who calls us clean and calls us redeemed and has made us white as snow. Because while we were still sinners, he died for us. Yeah, we do kind of get in our ivory towers. We do tend to sit there and look at somebody else and say, okay, yes, maybe I struggle with food, or which is my struggle. Or you can sit there and say, maybe I struggle with anger, or maybe I struggle with gossip. But you're somebody who struggles with whatever sin it is, right? It's something bigger than mine. And we put sins on the scale of whose is greater and whose is less. And then we said to go, okay, yes, I get it. We're all sinners. And we use the proverbial word of sinners, like, yeah, of course we are. We're all struggle with sin. But then in reality, we don't act like it. How about we sit there and really truly understand that we are really sinners and we need Jesus every hour of every day, that we can continue to sit there and go, look, I get where you are. I get where you're at. I get with your sin. I'm not going to debate you into heaven. I'm going to love you into heaven, right? We don't want to sit there and do the hellfire and brimstone message to somebody else and say, we're going to scare you out of hell because that's important. What happens, I think, sometimes is we sit there and we say, do you want to go to heaven? You go, well, yeah. Well, if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell? Well, no, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go into heaven. Okay, well, if you want to go to heaven, go to Jesus. So it's one of those things of like, if you've ever told a lie, you're a liar. If you've ever stolen something, you're a thief. If you ever, you know, said something about somebody else, you're a gossiper, and you're not going to go to heaven because you're a lying, gossiping thief who deserves eternal damnation. However, if you profess your faith in Jesus Christ and you say the simple prayer with me, you're going to go to heaven. And what happens is the relationship with Jesus, the lordship of Jesus, following Jesus, isn't in that conversation. So that's why I feel like there can be a proper way to sit there and go, look, heaven is a place of perfection because it's Jesus. It's living in God's presence that we want to be a part of, that it's not about saying I'm scared out of hell. It's saying somebody loves me enough to bring me into heaven, and that we can sit there and turn to them and we can follow them and we can towards heaven. We can follow Jesus. It's professing faith in him, believing in him, repenting of our sins, confessing of our sins, and turning towards him and declaring him as Lord of life, living for him and not living for self. That's why I think sometimes sitting there and jumping up and down and judging one another and telling somebody why they do a good job of it, of deserving God's wrath, to me, is not the best way to share the gospel. I think the best way to share the gospel is to be authentic, open, and honest, and communicate with love. Hey, man, you and I, we're both messed up, right? Like we're broken people in a broken world. How do we go to Jesus who restores us?
It's like a dictatorship versus an AA meeting mentality. I guess the best way I could describe it. I'm sure there's better analogies than that.
Okay, I'll go with it.
Go ahead. But no, it's like with the church. It's like we have to, everybody, I'm sure everybody who went to church when they were younger or who was showing some type of, or who grew up in some type of religious type background, maybe felt like it was a dictatorship. Like, you know, it's my way or the highway, or, you know, they're either their parents or if it was their pastor or a priest, if they went to like a Catholic school or something, it was their teachers. They grow up. And as, like I mentioned earlier, as you get older, especially when you start reaching like the young adult age, you know, you don't want to be controlled as much. So all those people just kind of fall off the wayside. So it's like, and then you become like this rebellious type person, maybe not through actions per se, but your thoughts and the way that you talk, the way that you think about religion or about the world and society in general. So I think if you take away that dictatorship component, or if some of these churches or religions can be aware of that, like self-awareness, like you just said, they could be aware of that and then have more of an AA meeting type mentality where everybody's sharing their story. It's like the misery loves company type of thing, but not as sappy. You know, we all feel better and more comfortable talking to somebody about our issues, about our sins. If somebody else on the other side is like, you know what? I understand. I'm the same way too. Here's my struggle. Here's my sin. And we're going to come together and we're going to love one another. We're not going to judge each other. And we're going to walk together into heaven, into Jesus's arms. If everyone could approach it that way, churches, religious institutions, whatever, if they can approach it in that matter instead of the dictatorship, I think you're going to see a lot more people that are more loving, understanding, more, still not perfect, but like they understand that God is the way, that Jesus is, being amongst him is the way to go. And they're not going to feel like they're being judged. You're not going to feel like they're being forced into it. It's just something that they're going to naturally do because their heart feels that it's the right thing to do, that they're supposed to be there, that they're wanted, that they're needed. If we could just go ahead and have that type of mentality, that'd be terrific.
And we can't be afraid to get our hands dirty, right? We can't be afraid. The world is a dirty world, and we need to be willing to, we need to be able to get our hands dirty in the process of saying, okay, I love you enough to come alongside you, get my hands dirty in the muck of the sin and say, how do I help lift you out of that? Because there is a point that we do need to be redeemed. We do need to be, everybody has to have that redemption, right? And that's what God is trying to work on. He died so we can be redeemed to him and we can have fellowship with him. But it's also then about sanctification and being clean after that. It's about being a new creation and walking differently. And I just want to say, let's not be afraid to talk to our neighbor. Let's not be afraid to talk to somebody who doesn't believe in God and to lovingly have conversations, real, genuine, authentic conversations with one another without fear and without judging one another.
Look, we all have our thing. Everybody has something, has one skeleton, maybe several skeletons in their closet. Everybody has a story, and we just got to listen to their story and understand where they're coming from and be able to walk in their shoes for like 30 seconds. I mean, if you can see what somebody else is seeing through their eyes, even for 10 seconds, that's going to make a world of difference. That's really going to give you a whole new perspective. I think we're just afraid to really discuss deeply who we are. And I think this is what this program's all about. We're going to dive in head first, and let's not be afraid to get our hands dirty and really dive in. Yeah, that's all I really have to say about all this, because I think it was a really good conversation. I think a lot of other people need to have this conversation.
Thanks so much for listening. You can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Venture Collective Podcast. You can check us out on Twitter at @venture_podcast. Please remember to subscribe and follow us so you can keep current on what we venture into next. Until our next venture together, love God and love others.